It's time once again for America's favorite show, The Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd, brought to you by DrFloyd.com.
In the last episode of The Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd, Dr. Stephen Fidget went back to July 28th in the year 1778. They were making plans to steal the infamous pitcher of American Revolutionary War heroine Molly Pitcher. Dr. Grant and Chips are racing to try and stop them, and nothing is yet known of the fate of Dr. Floyd!
Okay, Fidget, we'll wait for Molly to return to her water cart to get more water, then we'll grab her pitcher, and we'll make the jump back into the time and space stream. Well, I hadn't thought of that. I suppose it is possible that we could get shot out here on the battlefield, but the more I think about it, I'm quite positive we won't.
Why am I not?
Well, because we would have read about it in the history books. I do too read history books. Oh, be quiet, Fidget.
As these two villainous villains slink around the battlefield, let's catch up with Dr. Grant and Chips, who have just landed their time and spaceship behind a knoll.
Okay, Chips, we're landed. Make sure the ship stays cloaked. I don't want any British cannons taking shots at it. Boy, thank goodness for Captain Kirk and his cloaking devices. Have you honed in on Dr. Stephen Fidget's ship? Great, and remember, say nothing about Dr. Floyd. Let's go!
As Dr. Grant and Chips race from the ship and out onto the battlefield, let's catch up with the feisty heroine, Molly Pitcher, as she returns to her water cart.
Molly Pitcher, do these yahoos know any other words for crying out loud? It's like I'm only here to be a glorified waitress.
Molly Pitcher!
Hey, give me a second to refill this darn thing, why don't you?
As Molly reaches to refill her water pitcher from the barrel on her water cart, her horse takes a few uneasy steps.
Easy, Sparklets, easy. What's got you spooked, old boy?
Well, hello, Miss Pitcher.
What? Who are you?
Allow me to introduce myself. I am Dr. Steve, and this is my assistant Fidget.
Well, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Mary, and I sure ain't no miss. Now get yourself and your sock-shaped assistant out of my way before I make you get out of my way.
Oh, well, she's a feisty one, Fidget. Well, we'll gladly move on after you've handed over your pitcher.
You want my pitcher?
That's what we've come for, and that's what we're going to leave with.
Boy, I'll tell you one thing. You had that statement partially right.
Oh?
Yeah. You're going to leave, but you aren't going to be leaving with my pitcher. You are going to be leaving with an imprint of my foot on your derriere.
Oh, yeah?
Ooh, yeah.
Bring it on, sisters.
As Dr. Steve and the plucky Molly Pitcher prepare to pummel each other, Dr. Grant and Chips have come upon Dr. Steve's ship.
Well, here's their ship. Any sign of them, Chips?
Let's try and sneak aboard and get their time and space travel device back. Then we can trap Dr. Stephen Fidget in 1778, and then we can be done with this forever.
Yeah, I know the Prime Directive, but there's nobody keeping track of us anyway.
Dr. Grant approaches the ship and tries the ramp handle.
Please step away from the vehicle. Please step away from the vehicle. And if this is Dr. Floyd or any of his do-goodnicks, eat my shorts.
Well, how do you like that? He's installed an alarm. Well, that's no good. We'll have to find them, but they could be anywhere. There's lots of historical figures at the Battle of Monmouth, you know. They could be trying to trick Benedict Arnold into saying, give me liberty or give me a cheese pizza. Or trying to persuade George Washington and Alexander Hamilton to put his picture on the money instead of theirs. Let's creep up to the top of that hill and see if we can find them.
As Dr. Grant and Chips kneel at the crest of the knoll, they are unaware that about 20 yards to their west, Dr. Steve is going toe-to-toe with Molly Pitcher.
You know, it's not really in my nature to hit a girl. Quiet, Fidget. Don't make me do this, Molly.
Well, I ain't a girl, buddy. And for the last time, my name is Mary, not Molly.
Holy Molly, Fidget. She's crazy. Run!
Oh, no, you don't, coward. You come back here. You want my picture so bad? Come here. I'll smash it across your skull.
Dr. Stephen Fidget take off across the battlefield towards their ship with the maniacal Molly Pitcher running close behind. Dr. Grant and Chips, with their backs to Dr. Steve's ship, are unaware of the events transpiring behind them.
I don't see them, Chips. Do you?
Open the ramp, Fidget. Open the ramp.
Look, Chips, it's Dr. Stephen Fidget, and they're being chased by that woman.
Dr. Stephen Fidget reached the ship and run inside, closing the ramp behind them.
Oh, sure, hiding this big iron thing, you coward. You're a coward, you hear me? A coward!
Just then, a soldier runs up to Molly.
Molly! Molly, you must come quickly!
Oh, get your own water, soldier. I'm attending to business.
It's not that, Molly. It's William. He's just been wounded.
William? My husband, William?
Yes, come quick!
Molly Pitcher spent not even one more second thinking about Dr. Steve as she raced to where her husband's artillery unit was stationed. Upon arrival, finding them desperately short on men, she picked up the cannon's rammer staff and began to man the cannon herself. She would later receive a special recognition from General George Washington for her actions. As Dr. Steve watched her run off to the battlefield, far braver than he would ever be, he rolled down the window to give her one last parting shot that she would never hear.
That's right, run, you little crybaby. Don't you ever again tangle with the likes of Dr. Steve. No one will ever be able to stop me.
Oh yeah? Is that so?
Well, if it isn't Dr. Floyd's young protege, you can try how you like, kid, but you'll never be able to stop me, especially especially now that Dr. Floyd is gone.
Who says I'm gone?
Dr. Steve, Dr. Grant, Chips, and Fidget all turn to see Dr. Floyd walking towards the ship.
Floyd? Is that you?
In the flesh.
I'm back, Dr. Floyd.
Why, thank you, Fidget. I just thought I'd try something new.
Well, this is impossible. The Mystic Seer said that very soon one would die. And I overheard Dr. Grant and Chips saying that Dr. Floyd they knew was gone and that things had changed forever.
The only thing that's changed about me, Dr. Steve, is that my resolve to stop whatever plots you come up with has strengthened 100%.
Fidget, get us out of here quickly. Eat my time and space dust, you orange-headed freak.
Dr. Floyd, Dr. Grant, and Chips watch as the evil black ship of Dr. Steve raises up into the air and vanishes in a flash of light. As they begin to walk back to their own ship, Dr. Grant puts an arm around Dr. Floyd.
I tell you, Dr. Floyd, it sure is good to have you back. I thought you were gonna stay in that cargo hold forever. I still can't understand why you did it, though.
Well, if you promise not to laugh...
I promise.
I did it to make my head look bigger. You promised you wouldn't laugh!
I'm not laughing, Dr. Floyd.
Jagnabbit.
As our heroes return to their ship, our villains return to a place they have recently been to, namely the Last Chance Time and Space Waffle House. They park their ship and storm inside.
Hey there, how many?
We're not here to eat. We're here to see that Mystic Seer machine over there.
Dr. Stephen Fidget raced to the booth they were at before. The Mystic Seer machine on the table is still repeating the phrase it told them when they were there earlier.
One will die.
I don't understand it, Fidget. There it is, plain as day. One will die.
Oh, honey, that machine's been on the fritz. It gets stuck all the time. You gotta smack it on the side like this.
Very soon, one will die is here.
No!
Our hero, Dr. Floyd, is back, new hair color and all. He has vowed to pursue the evil Dr. Steve and his sock-shaped assistant Fidget wherever they may try to go and raise havoc throughout history. Their adventure continues here next week on the Radio Avengers of Dr. Floyd.